Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Rosebud. Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 406. Happy Time Murders. The Happy Time Murders.
For a movie that I think we were all pretty excited to see.
I was until I saw the second trailer.
I never heard you talk about the second trailer because I thought we were all on board because I saw that first one.
And I saw the first one.
Amazing.
And was like, oh, this looks really funny. Yeah. And then I saw the second one and I was like, this doesn't look as funny anymore.
Uh-oh. Well, apparently the second one was a more accurate representation of this movie.
It was...
There's two really great things about this movie.
It was 90 minutes.
It's short. That's true.
And I had theater to myself.
Those are great.
Those are all. Well, the first one is, is very universal. The second one is pretty subjective.
Yes.
But
my theater was surprisingly full based on reports.
But now they're listening to this in week two of release, so they'll be able to get theater to themselves.
That's true.
So if you do want to see it for free with MoviePass,
did you go to the screening?
You're welcome.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I went to Thursday night open.
Okay.
And there was probably, say, 15 people in the theater.
Yeah, it's pretty solid for Thursday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian Spass said, were you there? And I'm like, no. And he's like, let me know what you think of that. And he's like, that's weird, though. That guy that Joe was flicking off, that's uncomfortable. I'm like, what?
It was Brad.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Oh, well, he deserves it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
So before we dig in, we should probably go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe, and you can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/realspoilers. So
now if you don't leave a review, we're going to review Happy Time Murders again.
Yes. Yeah.
So better leave those reviews.
This movie didn't know what it wanted to be.
No,
it didn't know if it wanted to be.
I disagree. I think it knew what it wanted.
I think it wanted to be funny.
I think it. I think it wanted. I think it only had one idea in its head, which is, isn't it funny when puppets say something dirty?
It was a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
That's all it was. And so,
I think that's why my reaction to the second trailer, because I was watching the second trailer and I was like, this isn't radically different than the first one. Why am I not having the same reaction?
It was the Red Band
trailer? I was like, but they both were. Oh. And I was like, oh, because there's one joke at play here.
Yeah, that's it.
And I've seen it. And once you get past the initial shock value, there's nothing left.
This is what separates the imitators when it comes to raunchy comedies.
Right.
There's the innovators, there's the Apatows, there's the, you know, Will Ferrell, and you know, there's these guys that do the really good like Kevin Smith. Further back.
The guys that you're referring to is Kevin Smith, Judd Apatow, Adam McKay, Greg Mottola, and Todd Phillips.
Yeah, because
like those are as of right now, those are the guys you're looking at.
So they do raunchy, R-rated, lots of F-bombs, lots of, you know, vulgar stuff, but they're smart and the scripts are smart. Then there's the imitators that go, oh, let's just say a bunch of curse words and be obnoxious and whatever, and like, because that sells and people love it. It's like, no, you're not applying the same methods. And so this one was one of the imitators where it's like, they're like, oh, people love this. And all I could think of was Avenue Q, which is a fantastic musical. It's raunchy. It's vulgar. It's puppets having sex and dropping F-bombs.
But they also have something to say.
Yeah, yes. But it's smart and the songs are so funny.
It is.
And so that's the difference. It's like, no, you've got all these ingredients and you don't know how to make anything out of them. You're like, puppets, raunchy, sex. But
all I could think while I was watching this movie is that when they're filming a Muppet movie,
mm-hmm.
right?
they're probably doing this.
Yes.
Right?
I guarantee you there are outtakes somewhere.
Yeah, and it's probably really funny. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen the behind the scenes stuff, and it's not as raunchy, but I've seen it where they make stuff that they wouldn't put in a movie.
Right.
And these guys are funny. You see Jim Henson and Frank Oz goofing around and stuff. It is fantastic.
And I think that years of that convinced them, oh, if we just made a whole movie of this, it'd be pretty funny. But part of the problem is it's funny because, like, you know how Kermit should be saying or doing. You know what Fozzie, whatever. And like with
that ironic.
Yeah, and it's the juxtaposition. Yeah. And here, once you've established that these puppets are all crass, there's no more juxtaposition. No. It's just dirty.
So you have to be smart. If you have something funny or smart to say, then it gets good. But yeah, I just couldn't help but to think that how unfunny this movie was. Now, I do want to say, just on a positive side, not to just crap on it, technically, this movie is a great-looking example of puppeteering.
Absolutely.
CG.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite part of the entire movie is the credits.
The credits, where they show you how they were... Because there were times where I'm like...
How the hell did they do that?
Okay, and how are they
running? How were they...
How they did it was kind of what I thought they were doing. But still, it was...
These aren't like Kermit with Jim Henson's hand up his ass. These are like two or three people in green suits moving, and so that's why the movement's so fluid, and they can stand and run. You're not seeing the top half of them. It's fascinating. Like, when this comes out on Blu-ray, I want to watch all the special features to see how they did it.
But the problem with that theory, is you would have to purchase it on it. It'll probably
watch the special features.
It'll get real cheap real quick.
Oh, yeah. And so I just want to say out there, because the thing that sucks is you've got a very talented director in Brian Henson, who's directed lots of Muppet movies, and, you know, obviously has the lineage and the history. And then you have all these different puppeteers, like Bill Beretta, who is the main character, Phil Phillips, and he's doing the puppeteering. You have these talented people that now are just getting totally crapped on because this movie sucks, but they did a great job, but the writing is not up to par.
Well, you know what their mistake was, is that they, in other like outings, they don't use the gag of, like, we've never seen it where it's like, ha ha ha, they're puppets and real people, isn't that crazy? Like, it's some sort of version of Alien Nation, you know?
We're just there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and what they should have done is just commit to this being a mystery, you know? And even, like, the music, I was like, the music choices, I'm like, man, this scene would have played better if they would have gone for, like, that sort of, like, you know, film noir kind
That's
of
That's what I'm saying.
Right,
like, it felt like it wanted to be, like, a late 80s, early 90s cop movie.
Yeah, a gritty mystery. And quit using the, like, referring us back to the, like, we get it, the puppets and people, but they kept, like, making that, like, that's the joke. And
right.
And no other time, like, we talk about, you know, like, Muppet Treasure Island or Muppet Christmas Carol. They're never like, ha, 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 they're puppets.
That's the mistake. They should have established that puppets exist and left it alone.
And leave it alone.
They set it up as if, oh, puppets are in this world, and, you know, if you're a puppet, you don't have equal rights or whatever. So, okay, establish it, leave it, and, yeah, it's the pointing to it.
Right.
Isn't this crazy? Right. They're puppets.
Like, works against it every time.
When they go to, when Phil Phillips talks to his brother about, like, you know, the life on this TV show and how he's turned in, you know, when he's talking about how he bleached his skin and the new nose, like, I thought that was funny because it's just like, it's so ridiculous where the guy's just like, I took a bath with a couple extra drops of bleach in it, you know, made his skin look not as blue. And he, you know, it's easy to change a puppet's nose to a more human looking nose, because he kind of has like the, you know, originally has like that pointy kind of
originally had that big round nose.
Oh, but now he's got like a more
narrow
human nose,
right? And I like, okay, that's funny. Like, I enjoy like that idea of puppets being in this real world and doing like stupid things to, like, not look like a puppet. But you're right, like, they keep hammering home that Phil Phillips, who's our main character in this movie, is he has a heart, like, he's the first puppet cop. And then, but he messes up, so they don't put puppets on the force anymore, and like, they're second class citizens. And it's just like, are you trying to do like a Black Lives Matter style movie with the puppets, or are you just
like, I didn't feel like they're in political. With
no,
it,
I don't think. But
all.
I mean, they kind of were.
There were some moments.
There were some moments, and then it's also got weird because I felt like it also kind of trivialized.
That's kind of
civil rights type stuff,
right?
That it was just like, well, that's not really.
I mean, I get that that's the obvious parallel because it is, you know, puppet rights and all that stuff. But I just mean, I don't think the movie was made as with an agenda of like, we're going to make this.
I don't think it was. No. And I think that worked against it. Like, it either needed to have that be a metaphor that they were trying to make a point with, or not use it as just for cheap jokes.
Right. Because that would have made it better if it was saying something, but it doesn't. And this is another movie, too, where even it stars Melissa McCarthy, and I'm not a fan. Everyone knows that. But, like, I'm like, I'll give it a shot. And she's not the problem with this
movie.
She's
fine enough.
She's actually a lot less obnoxious. I mean, there's a couple crazy scenes with, like, sugar is like drugs in this world.
Yeah.
And
or for puppets.
Yeah. And so it's like, I totally, and she has a puppet liver, so, like, it affects her differently. And
I gotta tell you, I wanted to see more of that character that was the sugar addict.
Yeah.
Like, that was the, he was
Goober,
the one,
or whatever
Goober,
his
like,
name
he was the
was.
One
yeah,
I wanted to
funny.
See the most of.
Yeah.
He's in, like, the advertising credits. I was like, give me that. Like, if this guy is, like, the informant, and he just shows up random, give me that character. But
Well, we don't see a lot of the Happy Time Gang for very long.
No, we don't.
So, why don't we get into this?
Yeah, how does this thing start?
Oh, Lord, it's...
Well, because they go through the exposition of puppets being in the real world.
It's him driving around or whatever.
And he pulls up to his
puppet rights.
Okay,
the cops are messing with puppets.
Yeah. So we're introduced to our main character, who is Philip Phillips.
Yeah, Phil Phillips.
Phil Phillips.
So who's
they can't
voice?
Say Philip Phillips because that's a guy who won American Idol.
Oh
really?
So yeah.
Oh. But he's
in that song Home.
Yeah.
Oh,
not a bad song.
Okay. But he's voiced by Bill Beretta, who is a puppeteer that has done work with the Muppets, and I feel bad for him, maybe not now because of the reaction of this movie, but like, this movie is just like Melissa McCarthy in the Happy Timers.
She's the selling point,
but he's
the name,
but he's the main character, you know.
But they also put Marlon Brando's name above the title credits of Superman.
I get it,
and
but
he's in it for 5 minutes,
right? But I get it, but like, he's not on the poster at all. I get that she sells it. I just feel bad because he is the main character more than she is, and he's doing puppeteering and voice work, and he's good. Like,
well, maybe on Happy Time Murders too. Oh,
Who's also doing his best De Niro impression?
He is doing like a De Niro.
It's not like
Katie
De Niro.
Actually
it
said.
I thought it was De Niro at one
Katie
point.
Katie turned to me and said, "Is this Robert De Niro?" I'm like, "No."
Yeah, I had to look. I kept like trying to find like who's the voice, and there it was. You know, I had to go through quite a few searches to find it because I'm like, well, you think it's a big name,
right?
The way he's playing it, and it's not.
Yeah. No. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even De Niro has something he won't do for a paycheck.
Which is surprising. But I think it's because these guys do the puppeteering and the voices.
It would be hard to go in and sync them. I'm surprised they didn't redub it with celeb voices.
Yeah. I agree. That's kind of what I thought that was going to happen.
Yeah.
So we're introduced to Phil Phillips. Mm-hmm. Kind of gives you the breakdown that puppets are real, they live in the real world. And he pulls out, he's a private detective who used to be a disgraced former
cop.
He's a private dick. This is like the first scene is like two guys or a bunch of kids are messing with a puppet,
a tap dancing puppet,
like pops his eye out, and Phil Phillips, I guess, beats up one of the kids,
punches him, sends him
on his way. Goes inside. We're introduced to his secretary, who's Maya Rudolph,
she's good.
I mean, she's given nothing to do.
Yeah. I always enjoyed it when she was on screen, though, because I'm like, oh, she's just good. You know, she's always dependable for someone
else. Yeah.
Like, at this point, what we've seen is, like, every other, like, every TV show's special gumshoe episode. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like when we see other, TV shows that do a gumshoe episode.
Yeah.
It's this.
Right.
Yeah. Like, they did it on Next Generation. I mean, it's like, you've got the blonde. I mean, like, at this point, I was like, okay. I'm in with that.
I in the first 5 minutes, I was
the hard-boiled detective mystery.
Yeah, this is,
the
Chinatown.
A random client.
Go for it.
Yeah, no, it's totally setting up for a noir.
Yeah, I was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
right there.
He meets the new client. She kind of says, I'm involved with some things, and they said that if I don't pay X amount of dollars, they're going to tell... my parents or whatever that I'm involved in all of these weird sex things.
Yeah.
So he looks at the ransom note and he was like, I know that P from somewhere. So he goes to the porn shop, which I enjoyed this scene.
Two funny things in this movie. One that I thought was hysterical was this cow with the octopus. It's so random.
I didn't know what to do. Like, I definitely thought it was funny, but like,
if they would have kept this tone throughout, like, see, this is where it
lost me right here.
Is that right?
I was like, this isn't funny. This is.
Do you like gross out humor?
I'm not a big fan of gross out humor.
Okay. I
like raunchy humor.
It's different than gross out.
I thought this
out.
Was it hilarious because I think they're making fun of like tentacle porn or something, and it's an octopus with all his hands on the cow's udders. Like, it's just, it's so out of place.
But
and
he was
random.
Like supposed to be giving like the cow a hand job with the udders.
Right, right.
But udders aren't penises.
Right.
Also exactly. Correct.
They're udders.
Yeah. Right. But it's just
milk
like.
Milk isn't semen. It's milk.
No, but it's supposed to be a weird type of porn. It's not the.
Yeah.
He does kind of say, he's like, I have to start going into different things because everybody's done.
I got to create my own content.
I thought that was a funny commentary on porn and like they're just going so out there with new weird.
I wasn't really thinking of a commentary on porn as much as it's just like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Yeah. I thought this
I liked
was
it. It was one of the two times I laughed. And I love the flashback. Later on, they go through every murder and he's doing flashbacks and he flashes back to the octopus and the cow, which is just like,
right.
So random.
So, he gives him this copy. I'm not going to say the name of it because I don't feel like getting bleeped. But he gives him a copy of a certain kind of magazine.
You can say it.
It was like Pussy something.
Yeah, it's cats.
Yeah, because
that's the joke.
Oh,
but it's cats.
Right. Okay.
All these are double entendres in the store. They're all different animals, and
as a completely wild tangent, I still want to do it. I have a friend who does a lot of cat rescue stuff, and I told her that because she's like, I don't know what to do. You know, we have these cats, we can't find homes for them. I go, I'm going to set up a website for you. And we're going to call it Pussytown USA, and we're going to have the hottest pussy action on the internet.
Uh-huh.
And you don't have to bleep any of this because it was going to just be filed and feral. I guarantee you we will get those cats homes.
You'll at least
want to do it. She's like, I don't want to do that.
And it would
probably go viral because it's so funny that people would go and look at
like,
it.
I don't want to do that. I go, it will write up all the things like the little bios that are just like, you know, seem filthy just with
filthy
all the double
bios.
Entendres.
Right.
Like,
I'm going to make that, and then each one gets a huge Dorito to go home with.
So, yeah.
Oh,
he
no.
Go, yeah, he picks it up. He realizes that this is the magazine that the P in the ransom note came from. So he's like, "Hey, do you keep records of everybody that buys this magazine?"
Yeah,
like, yeah, it's in the back.
Yeah.
So of course Phil goes to the back. He flips through,
but he sees one of the Happy Time.
He does
members,
see one of
the.
Well,
rabbit.
We see a rabbit. We don't know who he is until he's just like, "Oh, I'm so and so's brother," and he was like, I'm not here for whatever. And I liked the bunny, this wholesome bunny rabbit is.
He looks just like the little rabbit in the Muppets. Like, you know, I think that they
look like the rabbit from the Muppet.
Greg the Bunny.
Yeah.
Well, he looks like.
Well, no, but there's a rabbit in the Muppets and he looks very similar.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these puppets are very close, which I thought was great.
Well, this movie it got sued, right?
Well, for the tagline.
Because
of
Sesame Just Street.
All Sesame.
Okay.
No Street, no Sesame.
No Sesame, All Street. Yeah.
Okay. Which I'm like, they should get sued for that.
But they lost.
They did?
I mean, they took it off all the posters.
It definitely wasn't.
They took it off, but Sesame Street lost.
Yeah.
And then they got to put out commercials that say, from the studio, sued by Sesame Street.
Nice.
Which is weird considering Henson's old man created Sesame Street.
It was funny because my wife was like, I heard, I heard a reporter say that Henson was rolling over in his grave. And I go, not so fast because he wanted to do this movie. For years and years and years, he was trying to do something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
this idea has been kicking around for a long time. And apparently, so is the script.
Yeah.
I think I got nothing to base that on other than having seen the film.
Oh, so this is supposed to come out like a year after Chinatown, maybe.
Because this script, I mean, come on, it's got a Basic Instinct reference.
That's big time.
There's jokes in here like.
This movie.
It's a super dated reference.
I know it's a dated movie.
Yeah.
You focus on the gumshoe film noir aspect, but beyond that, it's very much.
Those
like
80s, 90s.
It's very much third tier Shane Black.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like,
I can see that.
Loaded Weapon made fun of Basic Instinct, like
so did the Simpsons.
Yeah,
oh yeah,
I love that scene. It's just like, you do that again, I'm gonna shoot you.
Yeah,
So while Phil's in the back,
going through the records
to look for the whoever bought this one copy of the magazine. An unknown assailant comes in, and I do appreciate that. Like when they shoot the puppets, like just the stuffing goes everywhere.
That was
good. So he kills the cow and he kills the octopus and then he turns on the bunny and kills the bunny.
That was our
after
first...
the bunny drops some glittery stuff, and then
he pees
some
like
eggs.
Glittery.
Yeah, he pees glitter and then drops
like
some Easter eggs.
Easter eggs.
I like they pooped an Easter egg. That was funny. Like there were some good ideas in this movie, like the concept with how they operate, how the puppets, the fluff, and you know there were some really good ideas here. It's just they after about 10 minutes of seeing them all, like
oh, you've seen them all
because this world, like you're like, oh, this is a great idea. I'm on board, and then there's nothing clever again.
No,
it just.
No.
Crude.
There's probably a good 22-minute version of this.
Yeah. I mean, this would be a real good short film.
Oh,
yeah,
that's probably true.
Yeah. 30 minutes maybe.
and then they could have just continued with different genres, but this is not it.
This movie's boring.
Yeah. It is very
boring. It's surprising how unfunny and boring it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. So then all the cops show up, and then here comes Melissa McCarthy. We find out that her character and Phil Phillips used to be partners. And
I like when she comes in and she's like... using all the puppet based insults, she's he says something about his mother, and she's like, "Yeah, I slit her open. Where is a coat?"
I
think that's ad libbed.
She was.
I think it was too because it was funny.
Yeah, right off the bat when she came out, I actually laughed because she's like, "Let me sing a song for you." F you and F you.
I liked. All the not like her character in this is reminiscent of
The Heat.
And
Spy.
I haven't seen Spy yet, but I saw that as a 90 something on Rotten Tomatoes.
Good.
Like
it's
that's
good. Spy is great.
Yeah, I want to watch it. I do.
And she's not like this in Spy. Because Spy, she's kind of like
I guess that's true.
She's like kind of mousy and reserved.
Yeah.
And is kind of forced to be not mousy.
Yeah, no, this is more in the line of The Heat.
Yeah, I like her in the I like her in The Heat. That was my favorite. And then I liked her in this until it got obnoxious with the drug thing. And I get why, but again, I don't like that Melissa McCarthy.
Sure.
But at first when she's like this hardened like asshole detective, I'm like, okay, this is fine. She's fine.
The snarky kind of
I like that that chemistry. But man, as soon as they do the flashback and they show what happened, that they're partners and she is at gunpoint, a puppet is holding her at gunpoint.
And Phil Phillips has like he has like the deal. He's an expert marksman. Like he never misses.
Yeah.
And then he misses.
So they think, oh, well, he wouldn't shoot another puppet. But no, he literally missed. Like he really did legitimately miss. But then the bullet goes out the window and there's a little girl puppet and her dad shooting on sitting on the side of the street, waiting for a bus, whatever they're doing. And he actually hits the dad and kills him. And as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, okay, I get what's happening. Because this is, they've done this in a movie before. This is not an original idea who is this killer? And then they show something like that. I'm like, I can't think of it.
Go watch a De Palma movie.
Yeah, but I'm like, this is straight out of, you know.
Yeah, it bummed me out that like the one aspect of this movie that could have been enjoyable, which is like it being a mystery is that I had solved the entire mystery in the beginning, like 10 minutes. And I was like,
well, I guess I've got another 80 minutes to go.
It should have been a good mystery first.
Yeah, I'm like, don't show that right away because I know a lot of people probably didn't catch it, but if you've seen mystery and noir movies and stuff and you see that coming up and there's an assailant.
Well, there's like a mysterious client.
Right, and
it's all there.
Well, if you see very many of these film noir detective movies, it's like the random case always ties
it's never
back
a random
in.
Case.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Once has it been like, huh, that didn't tie
into
anything at all.
Chinatown. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just,
Was it?
Well, no, it's
Chinatown. I forgot that it was Chinatown.
No, because
last line of the movie is forget it, Jake.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Forgotten that it was Chinatown.
Yeah. Forgot.
Because they told me to.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. Here comes Stanley from The Office.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, good to see him getting a little bit of work. I'm cool with that.
I just finished The Office, so like, I'm like, oh, okay.
Stanley, good job, buddy.
I mean, I stopped watching, not really because of, but like once Steve Carell left, I just never watched the other seasons.
I gotta tell you, it was just as good.
It was still solid.
I love Robert California.
Robert California is amazing.
I think it may have gotten better when Steve Carell left, which is hard to do I love Steve Carell on that show, but like the fact that that show, when the main character left, they were able to be as good, if not better. That really is a testament to the writing.
The advantage of that show is when your main character leaves, they had set up Dwight and Jim and Pam and Aaron. Like they
so
were
many
all ready to go.
Yes. But they introduced all those new people from the other office.
Because the goal was they were gonna keep it going, and they were like, "This will be new Jim, and this will be new Dwight."
Right.
And then they decided to not do that, and then it was kind of like they had these characters they didn't know what to do.
Yeah. Right. It was like,
the only
out in the
step
back
I
office.
Have with that show was when they had the cameraman.
That was a weird.
I was like,
yeah, hey, that was a
oh,
weird thing.
Oh, you mean
thing.
The sound guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I hated guy. That, I like, too. I'm nope. like, don't mess up Jim nope. and Pam in the last season. I know nope. I hate it, too, because I'm like, Katie had missed a couple episodes. When we watched them. I'm like, watch this. I'm like, they're setting this thing up with the sound guy.
So Jim was supposed to cheat.
Yeah.
That was the deal. Yeah. He was supposed to cheat, like, on Pam nope. while he was in Philly.
And I was like, and they were go just there. Like,
and I think they realized, like, we can't do that.
That's a bridge too far.
That would have been, I would have been very frustrated. I'm like, let's wrap this up. Everyone loves Jim.
Especially with my relationship that you're rooting for the entire time.
Yeah. Like, they, yeah. My favorite thing, though, is, I think when in the last episode where they're doing the reunion episode and just and how much all the women hate Pam.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because they're from like, no,
because they all want Jim.
Because they all want Jim. Yeah. Jim's so great.
So funny when they're talking to
him.
Why
aren't you doing everything you can to make this man happy?
I love when, because Creed apparently is on the run from the police.
Oh, my God.
And then they show the audience of that show, the reunion. He's got a big beard on him. So great.
Did you ever see the Creed, like, that somebody did a supercut of, like, all the Creed stuff?
No.
Go.
He's
like,
fantastic.
Because you
though.
Don't realize how great he is.
Oh, he's so I realize.
But I mean, like,
it.
When you see it all together, you're like, oh, my, he had something every episode.
Yeah, every line doing that he something. Comes in, and he is just like.
I love the scene where he's like, he gets on the bus, and he's like, I'm playing hooky from my office, and he walks on, and it's.
And it's all them.
It's everybody from the office. He's just like, oh, God.
Yeah. That's great.
His real name is Creed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them. Their real names are
Grassroots. Yeah, he's in the Grassroots. Like, a lot of the,
oh, is he?
Yeah, yeah, a lot of the stories he tells are real.
That's why the joke is
oh,
when he
I
starts,
never knew that.
Like, he's playing music. Like, I didn't know you could play music. And,
that's hilarious. Yeah, Oscars, I think, is his real name as well.
They just changed their last name.
Yeah, because they weren't intended to be cast members.
That's
they,
true.
They were supposed to just be extras.
And then they became.
And they to make the office look full.
Right.
And then they just started, like,
I think there's a pop-up screw. There's a pop-up bar in St. Louis right now called the Dunder Mifflin Bar.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That is an office-themed bar, yeah.
That's cool.
Stanley plays Stanley.
Stanley plays Stanley.
Well, and Phyllis
She's from here, right?
She's from St. Louis.
Yeah.
Three of them.
Like, three of the cast members are from St. Louis, actually.
Jenna Fisher, Aaron, and...
Yeah. And but Phyllis was like one of the casting directors, and she was she was reading lines with people as they were auditioning them, and they liked her so much they were like, we're gonna put you in the show.
You're in the show.
And now she's residual money that she has coming in from that. That's, jeez, she
married Bob Vance.
Yeah.
Bob Vance Refrigeration.
Yeah. Vance Refrigeration.
Vance Refrigeration. Yeah, anyway, back to this piece.
I was trying to give us something hopeful to talk about for a second.
Just, I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I got 30 minutes of suck.
There's a mystery. There's a mystery.
Yeah.
There's a mystery why they made it.
Well,
I know why.
Yeah, I know.
It's just how it ended up this bad.
When you look at what Jim did with... Not Jim from The Office.
For sure.
But like with the Dark Crystal and Labyrinth and like...
The Muppets?
Well, the Muppets like was that whole... like. I feel like Dark Crystal and Labyrinth was like Jim Henson
going outside of the traditional puppet show.
You know what I mean? Like he didn't. Obviously, you're never going to go wrong. As I'm looking at this giant poster of the Muppets, but like I get like that doesn't want to be. He didn't want to be a one trick pony.
Well, how about I mean, the history of the Muppets. You got to remember, because people confuse the Muppets and Sesame Street.
Right. That's true.
Kermit. And I think maybe Ralph were on Sesame Street.
Ralph was the first Muppet.
Yeah, you're right.
Was Ralph the Muppets? I don't remember ever seeing Ralph on Sesame Street.
Ralph would show up once in a while.
Was he? Yeah. Okay. But the Muppets were on SNL.
Yes.
Right. You know, but people have them all mashed together, and it's all the same thing. It's
and Kermit and Ralph predate Sesame Street.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Ralph was first, like, then Kermit. Yeah.
You know, and even like the difference between the tonal difference between Sesame Street and the Muppet Show.
Yeah,
it was very clear. It was like one was in the morning and one was in the evening.
Right. Yeah,
you know
that was not on. That was not an accent.
Yeah, and the Muppet Show was not written for children.
I was saying Muppets, while kids can watch it because it's not crude and crass, has stuff for adults. Adults will understand the references.
My daughter loves the Muppet Show.
Yeah.
So now my daughter loves the episode with Julia Prowse, and she loves the one with, you know, it's like so my poor kid is well, she's a nerd anyway now at this point. But I mean, like,
you've worked very hard to get her there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like she's seeing this. We go to bed at night, and she wants to watch clips of Debbie Reynolds dancing. So, but she's seeing all this stuff, it's still because it's the humor, even though it's dated, dated,
sure,
because it's of its time and the, you know, when they would have special guests and stuff. But it was always written to be more adults.
Did you see the reboot?
And kids would like it.
Did you see the reboot?
Well, I was going to say. So, what about, speaking of The Office? They tried to make the Muppets
and
The Office.
I loved it. Yeah. Like, it's fantastic.
It did terribly, though. I wonder why.
It was, I think it wasn't on the right channel.
Yeah.
You know, like, it should have been on, like, ABC Family or whatever. But
yeah.
It was...
I think it was on ABC.
It was on the standard ABC.
It's
because
they keep trying to push it to primetime.
Yeah, primetime,
right.
Yeah.
Right, and it just doesn't work there.
No.
But it was a brilliantly written show.
It's weird
like, it's
that The Office
really...
was NBC.
Yeah.
I guess people, I think people also, too, thought it was a kid's show. Like, they don't, people don't understand what, like, adults are like, I'm not going to watch it. It's
it brings us
thing.
Back to the confusion of Sesame Street versus the Muppets.
Exactly.
The Muppet Show and Sesame Street are two completely different shows.
Yep.
But I think people, and I think, like, right now, that sort of, like, they make that the key gag in this movie is, like, they're guilty of doing the thing that has always been the two separate things.
Sure. Mm-hmm. They want to put it together.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't work together.
It's like, yeah, but you've never in any of the Muppet movies, and there's been a ton of Muppet movies,
there's
did
Muppet
it
movies
ever
you didn't
become
know
the whole self-aware of, ha-ha-ha, aren't they puppets?
Nope.
No.
They do in the Muppet.
But even in the Muppet movie, the very first one, Kermit isn't a Muppet or a puppet. Kermit is a frog.
He's Kermit.
But he's also a frog.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You know what I mean?
See,
it's like
see.
Your first
he's
shot
a frog.
Of Kermit is in a swamp.
Right.
He is a frog. They want his frog legs. They don't want his puppet legs.
Yeah.
So that's the thing with this is like, well, no, wait a minute. Because it's like you did such a good job of establishing that these are just like puppet versions of those things. And that's what they are. This is all about, no, they're puppets.
Yeah. That's true. And
but I also think there's a good movie there because of the concept of them being self-aware meta. That could be very clever.
It could.
But they didn't do anything with it.
No,
it was just the same old joke, but they are puppets. That's
the
problem.
Same. They keep going to that well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what they should have done was just make a better movie with a good mystery that happened to be that.
Yeah. Set it up, leave it alone.
Because I think the problem also with making them puppets, like that their characters are supposed to be puppets, is like who's working?
People don't.
How did puppets become autonomous?
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
So, you know?
Well, they kind of did that in Greg the Bunny. Like, Greg the Bunny was a really funny TV show on Fox that was based around, like, this...
Seth Green. And Bobcat Goldthwait was the voice of Greg the Bunny, right?
No, but Bobcat Goldthwait was on the show.
Okay.
Greg the Bunny was, like, a little naive kind of bunny that got cast onto, like, he was the new cast member of, like, a Sesame Street-style show. So they had, like, the Count, and they had other characters on the show. But in that show, Bunny or not Bunny, but puppets were just part of people. Like it was part of civilization. There's no reference to them whatsoever as to how they got that way. They just are, and you just accept it. And that was Eugene Levy, I think, was on that show. It was Seth Green and Eugene Levy were the two main characters besides Greg the Bunny.
But
that's what I'm saying. Like those shows and the Muppets. They don't reference...
I was thinking of a show called Unhappily Ever After.
Which is a great show.
And he was the voice of a bunny.
That's where he met his wife.
Yeah.
How about Married with Children? Didn't he talk to a puppet, too?
That's the show. That's the one you're talking about.
Unhappily
Ever After is the main dad is basically Al Bundy, and he talks to Bobcat Goldthwait as a bunny.
Yeah. But what about Married with Children, though? Doesn't he talk to a puppet?
I don't remember that. I mean,
Al Bundy has. I thought there's like a puppet that maybe I am.
You
thinking
are thinking of
that
because,
yeah.
because the main character is just like Al Bundy.
Okay, maybe that is it. I thought
it's
it was actually
got Nikki Cox on that show.
Okay,
Thank you very much.
The porn
that's
shop
her name,
shot,
by the way. The I'm porn, not making that up.
The porn shop shot up. The bunny is the first murder from the Happy Time,
but they don't know that yet. They're trying to figure out. Like they just think he's a casualty of the whatever. So
got
they
caught
start,
up in the mayhem,
in the
of
mayhem,
the porn
but they don't steal any of the money. So this is where they're just like, it's a hit. So they go to the lawyer of like the proprietor of the Happy Time estate. Yeah. And he basically said, who was that guy? I feel like that was somebody.
I've seen him in a bunch of them.
Anyway,
he's like a character actor.
Oh, he was he was on Mad TV for years.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He's
like,
Stewart.
He was like kind of like their Will Ferrell.
Yeah. He was. Yes, you're right. He was trying to be their Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
So we find out that as every member dies, the other members get distributed.
Well, it's going to syndication.
Yeah.
And they get like, there's $10 million coming in. Everybody gets a cut. And if one person dies, the other cast members get a bigger cut. So now they start tracking down all of the cast members. And Phil Phillips just happens to be in every single spot.
As each one dies.
So, like, he goes to see Elizabeth Banks, who is always fun to see.
I was like, Elizabeth Banks in this movie?
Why does she and Phil Phillips have a New York accent when they are in L.A.?
Well, we don't know that they're born in L.A.
I feel like if you become a cop in L.A.,
think they're trying
you are
to
born in L.A.
Noir. It's
I guess,
whole
yeah,
noir
right,
thing,
right, right,
yeah.
right. But, I mean, like...
L.A. Noir, well, not L.A., not the game, but, like, I feel like most noir stuff takes place in, like, the stuff that I've, that I'm a fan of is, like, the old-timey Hollywood.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that was in L.A.
Was in L.A. or wasn't? Or
was.
That's
I thought, too. I think, like, those Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah.
Was all set in, like, were, L.A.
Yeah.
But they talk like that.
Maltese just Falcon was San Francisco.
Still
but,
counts.
But still, you know, not New York. And then
right.
I think, like, all those Philip Marlowe movies are Los Angeles, right? Yeah. Like, they're, you know, like, that's...
Yeah. But they gave him a New York accent, just for fun.
The strip club scene was funny with the rats.
It's just a,
yeah.
And it's then I a street accent.
Yeah, that was, okay, exactly. Yeah,
that was noir, a New York accent. Yeah.
Ah.
So the rats, and, like, when I'm thinking of Rizzo, the rat.
I think of Rizzo
there's
immediately.
There's lots of little
yeah.
things where I know. It's like, wink, wink.
Right.
I made, you know, I was part of the Muppets.
Yeah.
You know?
So they, you know, Phil kind of goes that there's definitely, there was a relationship between mm-hmm. Elizabeth Banks and Phil. And
he tells her about
the like,
murders.
Let's get out of here. Like, just come. She's like, okay, I got to go somewhere real quick, and I'll meet you back wherever. And her car blows up, so we lose Elizabeth Banks.
And then the cops
fairly quick.
Find him there and are chasing him down.
And he has to run, which I always think is funny when puppets run, just because it's ridiculous. Yeah, yeah, right.
And that's they just kind of like their
it's
legs
like
are all...
He almost looks like the Pennywise when Pennywise is dancing. Like,
legs
it's
are
that
all
unnatural.
Just
like, yeah. So then
we have to mention his brother's already dead at this point, even before they go to the studio.
Oh, yeah, his brother was...
brother was in the hot tub. This is pretty funny. Apparently, they set it up that... puppets dogs don't like puppets
yeah
and so someone just lets two little chihuahuas or whatever
yeah.
out of
tear
the
them to pieces
yeah. they tear them up yeah.
the best body recovery is Goober where yeah. they ring him,
you're not gonna want to look
yeah,
at this
yeah I love that he's just like you're yeah. gonna want to turn away yeah. and they're just like what why and they're just ringing him out,
ringing him out
they
find
Santa,
him
yeah
the
they're at Santa Monica
yeah.
pier and just,
but the brother's dead and he's all distraught and so that's why he's like I've
so
got to figure out
now they're on the case
yeah like, so that's two Happy Time members and so that's where we find out okay each Happy Time member is being taken out
right
and so they're you know who did this and they suspect that it's either someone involved with the production or whatnot but then in the back of our head we have that memory of
correct
him shooting this little girl's dad and then Melissa McCarthy blaming it on not wanting to shoot puppets.
Right. So then we go, Phil goes to his office. He meets again with the mysterious blonde lady. This is the infamous scene that got played in the trailers.
This is
him.
The second time, even though I saw it, I'm like, this is just funny.
I thought it was ridiculous.
It keeps going. It yes. keeps going. And I did like the interaction between them where she's just like, I'm always turned on or whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what, like yeah. how close I get to something. Yeah. I'm a what?
I'm a.
That's, oh, in the very
I'm
beginning.
A,
that's
I'm
what,
a,
what
I
kind
get
of movies.
That.
That made me laugh. That, yeah. What kind of movies are in I'm a movies? I'm like, what's that? I'm a gonna fuck it.
Yeah.
That was the, it's good.
Oh, it's all fun and games when you can say it, but I get dirty looks when I say stuff.
Well, that's my one every 20 years that I, you know.
I've been doing this show for 20 years.
And it's a quote, too. I didn't just use it willy-nilly. It's a quote.
Yeah, so this is the scene in the trailers. And I do like in the special, like at the end, when it's just like a guy with a spray can of
silly string. But I also like they had to blur out that it was silly string.
Yes, they did, because they didn't write. So
silly string's like, we'll be associated with a lot of asinine things.
No, but
not this movie.
Not this movie.
Like we didn't know what they were
correct.
Using.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Can you, do you just have like a thing of plain white silly string?
No reason.
Nobody's asked for that ever.
Generic.
So, yeah.
They should have gooned in some different, you know, like funny twine or something like that. Yeah. Just wrote it on
actually,
your
it should have just been a multicolored. Like, yeah. if we're going with that theme, like, you know, the gal's pubes are purple
yeah.
and whatever.
I just feel like that scene was just like... That's where they were just throwing out
we
random ideas, and they said that we could make a movie.
Right, that's yeah. probably true.
I mean, I did think it was funny though when they were doing the Basic Instinct type of parody though, and the whole point is to reveal that you know the carpet matching the drapes type thing that
right.
it's like purple hair and her vaginas like their puppet vaginas sticking out
it's,
of this wad
like,
of hair
it's
like
the lips are sticking
it's
out.
So yeah,
like, it's not
like,
just bush.
Yeah.
Like, it's anatomically
like that made me laugh because you don't ever. I mean, it's a puppet, but yeah. You see this thing sticking out like, oh my god.
Yeah, it was a little, it was something.
Yeah. But you remember in the flashback the little girl had
right,
purple hair.
Had purple hair.
Interesting.
So yeah, so this is, and I was hoping to get more
I'm glad
of Joel
that's the part that we're focusing
yes,
on.
Yes, it is.
That the little girl
had purple hair.
Yeah.
I was hoping to get more of Joel McHale.
Yeah.
But he's super underused. Like, you see him like three times.
But I also was glad we didn't get more of Joel McHale because I don't like Joel McHale being the butt of the joke.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Like, it was like he was a,
the dumb guy.
Yeah, yeah. And the, yeah. they kept tricking him into doing stupid yeah. things.
Loser like, says what? Like what? I've seen Wayne's World. Like,
I know. It's like, I'm like, was this character never 14?
Yeah.
Like,
how is he that stupid? He's supposed to be this FBI agent. Right. It doesn't seem stupid other than being tricked by these yeah. people. It's
that's,
dumb.
That's where this script is.
Yeah.
It's clearly
it's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's very stupid.
Yeah, it worked in Wayne's World. We'll put it in ours.
And right. it was way better in Wayne's World. They do it one time, and right. then it's just like, Sphincter says
and,
what?
And no, they do it to a guy, a character you don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the cop, right? Oh, no, it's Rob Lowe.
It's Rob Lowe.
Well, you're not
yeah,
supposed
yeah.
to like oh, no, right. him. The you're cop, not supposed to like Joel McHale, but you like him because he's
right.
Joel McHale.
The cop joke is like, hey, do you smell bacon? And the cop's like, oh, all right. Even yeah. the old man cop in Wayne's World gets that joke.
And he laughs, though.
He does
he's
laugh.
Like,
he's like, ah.
I love Wayne's World.
It's great.
That's a great movie.
Even
that's
the second
one of those spinoffs
good.
That I enjoyed the
it's
second one.
One of the
one,
few but, spinoffs that worked but, back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, now we're going to, so we.
He's being framed. Now the cops
split
are
up,
after
right,
Phil.
They split up. Phil is going to look for one of them, and then Melissa McCarthy kind of goes.
They go
into
to the
this,
drug den
the
to drug, find Goober after this.
The drug den. The good. It was pretty. It was. This was. I couldn't stand this scene. This was the one I was like, ugh. Where they don't let humans in, but it turns out we're told that she has a puppet liver,
yeah. right?
So she goes in. She starts snorting.
I thought
pixie
this was kind of interesting because I'm like, why would she have a puppet liver? Like, I kind of was interested in what.
Yeah, at first I thought he was bluffing.
Yeah, he thought it was a joke. Yeah. And then she snorts the stuff and is fine. And then I'm like, okay, well, how does she have a puppet liver? And you find out from the shooting incident, he shot her in the liver and had to rush her to a puppet hospital. Like,
yeah.
I thought that was interesting. Like,
it was, whatever.
For what it was, sure, it's just sure. like, how are they going to explain this? And they did.
Right.
Know? So it all tied up. But yeah, so she snorts a whole bunch of sugar.
But apparently she has a sugar problem.
Well, yeah, because of the puppet liver.
Right,
it's kind of
right,
made
right.
her. Another reason to hate puppets is.
She's constantly drinking. Like when she's not on the job, she's just sucking down.
Don't they bring
maple
syrup like as a bargaining? Like I've got three cases of maple syrup. Like it's very. I did. It's again, the concept is clever that they've set up this world of sugar and puppets.
Right.
Doing the drugs with the maple, you know, whatever.
Right. So we.
This movie was announced in 2008.
Wow.
And I thought
I feel
it
like those
was,
jokes were still dated
but
in
I
2008.
Think they were probably sitting on a script before that.
Yeah. That's
they
what,
announced
what's that like
this.
The blacklist where there's a bunch of scripts that sit out there that there's like all these are great
it's
but
like
never get made.
Spec scripts
yeah.
So
yeah,
they
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of vote on what's yeah. the best one.
I bet it and was it, hard for Jim Henson to make a movie like this or even Brian
Jim,
Henson.
Jim was never going to be able to make a
because
movie like
of
this.
Your yeah. affiliation. I right. mean, it's got to be hard to
but
do
it was
this.
Brian and Lisa Henson. They announced it in 2008.
Is wow. Lisa his wife or Jim or his mom?
I think it's the daughter.
Oh, okay. Okay.
His Brian's sister.
Okay.
They said it's going to be a film noir starring a puppet detective.
They tried. They, yeah.
10 years ago.
So they go find Lyle. He's the guy.
Which one was Lyle?
He's the drug lord.
Oh yeah,
the
right,
black
right,
guy.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
He's,
yeah.
He's
this
the,
is. She goes to go find him. Then they talk about. So it all goes down there. Then she,
there's a drive-by shooting.
Yeah.
And that's,
oh, that's right.
And,
that's
and
right.
then Melissa McCarthy's high out of her mind on sugar, and so like she can't.
Phil's
do
trying
anything.
To walk him through it. Yeah. Yeah. Then she goes to find Goober. Which I was just like, give me
Goofer.
This Goofer. Give me this character.
This guy's
this
hilarious.
Guy is great.
He's in like gimp outfit and like he looks.
No, he just looks like
he's
a,
got a black like chains and a black collar and he's just doing
he?
Weird stuff. Yeah. All
right. Well, I just remember him being passed on the couch.
You know, he's like in another like opium den.
Yeah.
Kind of a
yeah,
thing.
Basically.
But he's just high out of his mind. And,
I thought the guy that did the voice on it was really funny. Like I just yeah. like the accent they mm-hmm. gave Goofer. Yeah.
But this is from the Red Band trailer when he's talking to Melissa
McCarthy.
Also the joke, okay, one time is funny when someone mistakes Melissa McCarthy for a dude.
Right.
Yes.
But she doesn't look like a dude. So no. when they do this joke 50 times,
right.
it's like, okay, that's not funny anymore. I get it one time, but that wore thin. It was
yeah.
the same over and over. But yeah, I'll suck your for a quarter or whatever.
I laughed when those, and it was in the trailer when the
that's
the two
okay.
ladies. That's okay. Mm-hmm. I think it was just because they held the beat long,
right,
just long
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then,
even better.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Goofer washes up at Santa Monica Pier, and it's obviously he's a puppet that got wet.
It's a good gag.
It is a good gag. He's
you're
like, you're not going to see this.
Good.
They're ringing him out, and of course, yeah. like Stanley and. The other cop are just like, whoa!
Stan Lee's in this?
Stanley.
Oh,
Stanley. I don't think we're going to see Stan Lee in anything anymore.
Well, I wonder, got a few cameos. Still
I think those are already in the can.
Yeah, they shot
like 8 or 9 of them at once. Didn't
like,
they?
Look, you're able to walk right now. Let's just get these done right now.
Yeah.
That's. I wonder how they're going to do that.
What do you mean?
Well, in the future? They don't have scripts. So, like, how do they shoot the cameo?
Well, they just do the gags and they ride around.
They
it.
Just write it's just right a gag, into the script. Yeah. The best one's Spider-Man. Spider-Man's been the best one so far.
Which one's that?
Where he's like the old man in the. In like the apartment building, he like hangs out the window and he starts yelling at Spider-Man.
Oh,
yeah, that was my favorite one so far.
There's been a lot of good ones.
Yeah, sure. Like the Thor one is also good. Yeah. She's like, I'm not as steady as I used to be.
Yeah,
don't you hit me with that, old man. So yeah, so now Phil gets caught. They bring him in, and then the girl, the infamous girl, lays it all out and says, "Oh." Yeah, yeah. Lays it all out. Says, "Look,
well,
He told me
they went and found her. They tracked it down, or all her, you know, her string layer. Board.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, right. That's right. So, they catch Phil first. Then they go to Maya Rudolph, and she's just like, you got to help him. They go to this.
They go to her house.
It's like a motel.
It's a Hollywood apartment.
Yeah,
it was an apartment.
And she's just like, there's a back door. There's another part of this building
behind a bookshelf.
Yeah, and they push it back and they find all of this. It's crazy pants. Like it's the revelation that Sharon Stone's she is crazy, right?
Yeah,
in Basic Instinct, or is she not the killer?
I don't remember. It's been so long.
But it's every murder mystery has a string board tied with thumbtacks to pictures.
Not the killer. It's her.
Don't spoil it.
It's Basic Instinct. 92
film.
25-year-old spoiler.
Chris may have not seen
you
this
see
yet.
Your vagina.
Yeah.
That's the spoiler.
Thank
was
goodness,
that on purpose?
Thank goodness for Blu-ray, though, because VHS, that was tough.
Or was
to
that
pause.
On accident?
No, it was on purpose, but it was more
as much as they,
than
yeah,
they were.
Right, okay.
Then she had.
She meant to do the leg thing, but they didn't realize that they were going to show as much as they should.
But on VHS, exactly. Trying to pause it with the lines for
you
the
couldn't
TV.
See
they
it.
Couldn't, but on Blu-ray.
It's all there.
That's where Kevin developed.
That's what I've heard.
That's where Kevin developed his fetish for bad tracking.
He loves channel 69 on the old cable box, and it wouldn't come in right.
A staticky picture.
I thought it was 99.
I don't know. 69 would make more sense.
Yeah, but I think it was like the higher numbers.
The last number you could go to.
Back when you could see the like scramble and the music, it was like
you're just like, I think I saw a boob.
Yeah,
maybe. Well,
sometimes
hopefully.
Sometimes it would come in, and you're like, what?
Yeah,
like.
It was like that Friends episode where they had got free porn.
Yeah.
And they're just like, I don't want to turn it off.
I don't
like,
want to. Yeah,
what if it goes away?
They watch it for like 2 days straight.
He's like, I went to the laundromat. I got to turn it off. Like it's yeah. So they catch Phil. They realize that the client that has been popping in and out of this movie is actually the crazy pants. Mm-hmm.
They go to the airport.
They do the thing.
Well, she gets kicked. And she's gets kicked off the force. Don't forget, you always have to have.
You gotta have that. Yeah. Yeah, give me your gun and badge. And also,
I like when she was leaving and telling everybody what they thought, what she thought of him. I thought that was
funny. Yeah.
Well, then you know what? That's a cameo that I can appreciate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If they stop making their movies, which all three have been bad, if they stop making them, he gets a cameo. Okay,
right. Well,
perfect.
He was. Wasn't
which is,
he?
Didn't she like? I was gonna fuck you.
Yeah.
The husband.
He's like
oh,
I should have fucked you. And, yeah.
There's still time.
Yeah.
That was a good line.
I thought that was a great. I thought that was a great. Cameo for her husband, and I also think that like most people probably aren't going to realize it's her husband,
right.
So it's a nice nod.
He's the air marshal in Bridesmaids, right?
Yeah,
yeah. He's like, I'm not an air marshal. I'm telling you right now. And then, of course, spoilers from
Jerry,
Bridesmaids.
Don't spoil it.
You see Melissa McCarthy's vagina.
You do.
Oh,
Vagoogle.
Well.
Oh,
Ben Falcone would disagree.
Yeah.
That's true.
That thing prints $100 bills, so you know what?
What thing?
What do you think I'm talking about?
Melissa McCarthy or her vagina, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing all right.
Yeah, so they go
to
the...
I don't think her vagina is the source of the success.
I don't think so either. They go to the airport. We see that, you know, they track her down. She's about to jump on an airplane, and then this is where we get the reveal that Elizabeth Banks has been alive the
Shocker.
Whole time.
Yeah.
I will say there's a body in that car.
There is a body in the car, but I know when the car blew up, I was like,
they do kind of
she's
pull
alive.
In on
there
that.
There is a body in the Mission Impossible car too, Joe.
She's in
That's
on it.
That's fair.
Right?
Yeah. What car?
You see her get into the car and the car explodes.
The old exploding car trick.
The first one.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Remember?
Okay. Yeah.
In Mission Impossible.
Yes. Okay.
Because he saw her get into the car and
right.
explode.
The exploding car trick. Yeah.
The old
explosion. As soon as you see it, you're like, and they're like, no.
See, this is also
back. In all fairness, in The Last Boy Scout, that guy actually dies. That character dies and that car gets blown up. That's a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
Continue. Yeah, Last Boy Scout's great. Yeah, so then you get the reveal, and then they're getting on the airplane, and then, of course, Phil has to go back
take
the shot, and of course he doesn't miss and blows this gal's brains out. So he's not only killed her father, but he's also killed her, and then they reinstate him on the force.
Yeah,
he's like, yeah, man, you're good to go.
This may be a little premature. Yeah. But I've been holding this on
I've been holding on to this badge for the last 3 years and, or for however
it's
long.
It's ridiculous.
And it's been 12, I think.
Yeah,
because you figure she was a little kid.
That's true. Yeah,
right.
This is, I mean, I know it was funny because it's ridiculous, but he's also like, I've called the mayor and they're going to repeal this law. Yeah, like after this one event that just happened.
Phillips law.
Yeah,
they're gonna repeal it.
They're gonna repeal it and give him his
right,
badge,
get your
back,
badge
but
back.
Whatever. That's a funny.
And then he goes on a date with Maya Rudolph. He being Phil, pronouns.
Yeah,
Val.
Bubbles.
Which they, I like. That was funny. Like, I don't know why. Like, of course her name is Bubbles.
They've had a thing the whole time. She's obviously liked him.
Right.
And, you know, he's banging the puppet and she has to clean up after him. I liked her with the Windex and the rag. Like,
that was
ready
the good scene.
When
I do like it when he's got it, when Joe McHale's like got it on his shirt.
That's a good one.
And she's like sprays his shirt and just kind of wipes it off.
That I think was improv'd.
Yeah.
Probably.
Because the thing landed on his shirt and she's wiping and spraying it. You could tell that it was just random.
But yeah, this is
it's
another
so
movie.
It's so weird to think that like, I love Maya Rudolph.
I do too. She's very funny.
And it's so weird to
did
think.
Did you see Away We Go?
Oh, yeah.
Such a fantastic movie.
Oh, that's
they're
such an
so
underrated
great.
Movie.
Is that Jim?
That's Jim.
That's
Jim. Yeah.
That was one of his early not
that's
office roles.
That's one of his
right.
first. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he is kind of Jim, but,
but
it's a fantastic movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
But it's so weird to think that, like, this. She's so silly. It's weird to think because she's married to Paul Thomas Anderson.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
I didn't know
and
that.
She's so silly, and everything he does is so... It's like it's...
They must balance each other out very
I guess.
Well.
It's, I want to see an interview with the two of them together just to see what
maybe
they're...
Maybe she's like super serious when he's around.
What they're like
as
soon
as he walks away.
I didn't know she was married to PTA.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Hmm. And that's how it ends. This... Should have
Are you
been
talking
way
like
better.
A I thought for a second you're like,
and that's how it is.
This is how it ends, and then it's over.
And then,
and then
this
you get
and
hi
then
ho, hi ho, Kermit the Frog.
Yeah. The best part of the movie is how it's made. And again, I instantly was like, I'm going to YouTube to see like, are there more behind the scenes? Like, it's fascinating. There's like two or three people in full green costumes
working the whole
getting CG'd out. I'd love to know how they do that. Like how the computer.
It's interesting to see how far puppet movies have come. Honestly, like I mean, at the Muppet movie, it's all. You know, them sitting down or them sitting in a car or that, you know, it's there's none of them walking. Is there some of them walking
there's,
around?
Kermit
they do.
On a bike?
Yeah. No, that's true.
How he does that on the bike in the first Muppet
movie. I have to believe he's above them. Like, I have to believe that's how it works.
I mean, the bike is moving and pedaling. It's so
still
weird.
Don't know.
Yeah.
But that's,
yeah.
And I kind of like that. Anymore.
I don't want to
know.
Like, that's the, to me, like, puppets are on the level of practical makeup.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
insane to think, like, watching what people used to be able to do, and now with the resurgence of CGI and the amount of times that the, and this was, the CGI in this was smartly used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
this
like, it wasn't.
Away, just like to take away the wires, just like a, Mad Max, the only CGI is to, like, take away wires
John
and things
Wick's
from
the
rigs.
Same way.
Yeah, it's great. This is a reminder of a better time when things were practical and, you know, just the technical part.
Things
of it
look, you forget how good things look when they are practical and not CG heavy.
John Wick was the same way. He took away the puppy. Sorry, everybody. Just a reminder.
Spoilers.
Well, it's in the opening scene of the movie.
I stand by my statement.
It was in the trailer.
It's in the trailer.
It was in the trailer, yeah.
I remember everyone
kick
being
the
like,
puppy
like,
in the trailer?
Does the puppy die?
Yeah, yeah.
That's,
that puppy dies.
Theon Greyjoy.
Oh, it is Theon Greyjoy. Yeah, yeah.
The sister of, what's her name?
Lily Taylor.
He's Alfie Allen, and she's Lily Allen.
His name is Alfie Allen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
She has a song about him.
That's a very
called
British.
Alfie.
Yeah, okay.
That he sits around on the couch and smokes.
Is that really about him?
Yeah.
Oh,
her song
funny.
Alfie is about her brother.
Yeah, so swing and a miss.
So much potential here.
Yeah.
So much potential.
So, Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Yeah, the last time they tried to do this movie, it had met similar results. It's called Meet the Feebles.
Oh, it's the Peter Jackson movie.
Yes, it is. From 1989. Yeah. And it is equally where you're just like, it's just, it's about as long. And it's equally as fatiguing.
Yeah.
And it's more of like, it's the behind the scenes of a puppet variety show. It was very clearly inspired by the Muppet Show. But it's all the like tawdry things that happen. And there's a little bit of a mystery. And there's like drugs and sadomasochism. Mm-hmm. There's a scene with a cow that, you know, has like its teats.
Uh-huh.
You know, its udders are all, it has pierced udders, and it's I think it's being filmed, actually. You know, it's it's the whole, I mean, it was like, oh, this is just like Meet the Feebles, and I feel the same. And it's, I have to say, it's not, it's an interesting movie to see. It's very,
it
very low
this?
Budget.
Like, because I kind of want to watch this looking at it
it's
now,
a double,
but.
You could have a double feature between these two movies and have.
Oh, I will never
equal.
Do a double. I will never do a double feature.
And they will be, it will flatline straight through. Like, yeah. You won't be like, well, that was better. It's like, no, I mean, it's an interesting movie, but it's kind of interesting for me is that, well, it's like, wow, this happened. And there's a lot of the same gags, and it's just not as good then.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's, I think you just got to get the right creators on it.
Like,
I feel like Jason Segel would make a very good version of this.
I think.
Well, yeah, he.
That's what I'm saying.
I think Martin Scorsese should have been.
Oh, that would have been really interesting.
And then put puppets in it. Like, take a
Scorsese.
Serious,
like,
a legit movie.
Take Goodfellas and have it be
puppet
puppets.
It up a little bit, and it would be better.
Well, I mean, that's the Muppets model,
yes,
right? I mean,
right.
They take kind of pre-existing properties, and
I feel like we'd also be remiss not to mention Who Framed Roger Rabbit,
right?
Yeah,
which is a detective noir movie. I mean, this
that's set in LA,
which is good.
Yeah, which is amazing. Like, Who Framed Roger Rabbit did this idea with cartoons instead of puppets, but it's the same idea.
Or the mystery they never tell you don't figure out who it is until the end.
Otherwise, if you want to see a really good subversive execution of this, Wonder Chosen, which was a show on MTV. Do you remember that? Did you ever see it?
I mean, I remember. Was it on Liquid TV?
No, it was late night on MTV. If you can find it. It was, it's one of those shows that's like, I don't even know how that got made. I don't even think you can. It's really hard to find.
Like,
it was
Syphil
a show.
Alley.
Yeah, it was so bad. Like, well, there was like things like you know, they would have the kid on the street interviews, except for the kid would be dressed like a little Nazi and stuff like that, and the, you know, just be more of the reactions. Yes, and it is
little kids with puppets.
It's wrong. I think maybe Tim and Eric might have had something to do with it. I'm not sure.
Look at this picture of Hebro with a cartoon, but it's like He-Man with a penis coming out of his head.
That's MTV back in the day, dude. Like, they tried
it. Looks like it was MTV 2.
Like, if you want to see one that will either make you laugh or go, oh my God, Wonder Shows it. If you want to see this movie already from, you know,
Meet the Feebles
30 years ago, Meet the Feebles.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Mm-hmm, no problem.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at RogerKubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/TomO'Keefe. If you want to find the show online, you can do that at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers or at our website, RealSpoilers.com. And of course, if you want to kick in some money, we will take it, Patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So there, that's it for this one. Next week,
Ken
is that's really small type, and I'm old.
Operation Finale with Oscar Isaac and Ben Kingsley.
Okay, there's that, and there's also
that's the Nazi Hunter movie.
Yeah, there's also
it looks really
Searching.
Interesting.
Is that the John Cho?
Oh, does that actually come out tomorrow? Wide? I wasn't sure. I think it.
Yeah. And then there's Ken, which looks kind of interesting.
So who knows. But we'll find something.
From.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Chris was raped by the cast of Cats.
The internet is really, really great.
For porn.
I got a fast connection, so I don't have to wait.
For porn.
What? There's always some new site.
For porn.
I browse all day and night.
For porn.
It's like I'm surfing at at the speed of light.
Warp porn.
Trekkie.
The internet is warp porn.
Trekkie.
The internet is warp porn.
What are you doing?
Why you think the net was born? Porn, porn, porn.
Trekkie.
Oh, hello, Kid Monster.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.